This podcast is not safe for work and will feature movie spoilers. It will feature scenes described of a graphic nature. It will contain language which most listeners may find offensive. Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. This is your Sunday 88 Films Italian Collection series of reviews. I'm your host Duncan McLeish. Welcome to the show. Up on this episode we turn our attention to disc number 52 in the collection. This one, a kind of later day Italian horror nonsense for lack of a better word. This is Paganini Horror. Like I say, disc number 52, recent acquisition for me. I got it in a sale. The cover artwork is absolutely bahitchin', but let's find out if the movie itself lives up to that. But we'll get into that after the first break. Welcome to the show anyway, guys. Hopefully you've had a fantastic week. I've had a blinder, if I'm honest. I've had a really, really, really good week. All started right off on Monday, where we did our final installment of the Bloody Terror box set, looking at Bloody New Year. And then we transitioned, we sashayed, we merengued into Thursday when we did your reviews for Movie Club on a little movie called Thesis. It was really good as well. I really enjoyed listening to your thoughts and musings on that movie, to be sure. On Thursday evening, over on the Facebook group page, I launched a link for our Teapots cast commentaries. Now, I haven't really mentioned them much on the recordings, but every Thursday at 9:30 UK time, we host essentially a screening of a movie online using the Cast app, K-A-S-T. And there's a good pool of guys that jump across and check it out. I do a commentary over the top of it, but you can interact with myself via a chat board in the room. So yeah, we watch a movie. This week we did a double bill. The first time we did a Duncan's double bill, and a double bill John dies at the end in Naked Lunch, under the theme of weird bug movies, aka movies that were considered unfilmable from the source material. It was a rip-roaring success. I really enjoyed that. And next week we will be screening a copy of Bubba Hotep. So if you're interested in that, this week what I'll do is, in the show notes for all the episodes leading up to Thursday, I will post the link to our cast page. You can join it anytime you want. You don't have to join exactly on the time the movie's coming out. But yeah, if you join that and then 9:30 UK time, every single week there will be a movie playing over there for the foreseeable future. And yeah, join in. Some of the guys get themselves some drinks, some popcorn, some snacks, and sit down and watch the movie, and it's a ton of fun. So yeah, more people getting interactive over there would make it more fun for me. The way we divvy it up is, one week I get the selection, the following week you guys get the selection. So we've watched some brilliant movies thus far, and some purely shit ones as well, which kind of does my heart good, so to speak. So yeah, that's what happened then. Yesterday we launched our listener choice episode. We covered The Pit, an absolutely bonkers movie from 1981. So yeah, hopefully you've checked that one out. If not, go and find a copy of that movie. It's gloriously weird, for lack of a better word. But there you are, you're all caught up. In terms of the Teapots Collective feed, tomorrow we'll be dropping the next episode of Doing the Nasty. That'll be looking at Friday the 13th Part 2 and The Nesting, both movies on the Tier 3 list of the Video Nasties. So yeah, check that one out. Myself and Mark Ball doing the Lord's work, working through those shitty, awful movies, minus Friday the 13th Part 2, which is legit fucking great. So very much looking forward to at least discussing a movie that I love on that series. So yeah, Opera Omnia delayed a couple of weeks just because of scheduling issues with myself and Mr. Watson. But yeah, you've got other things coming down the road on that channel, so make sure you're subscribed to that one as well. Okay, That is enough of me plugging my wares at the start of this episode. Let's take a short break just now. You're going to hear promos for shows that I love. You're going to hear the trailer for Paganini Horror. I'm going to be back to discuss that movie right after this.
Hello, this is The Doom Show. Keep on keeping on and keep on trucking, America. We don't listen to our feedback because we don't get any.
The truth hurts.
I just alienated the two people that give us constant feedback. Sorry, guys.
That's gotta go.
That's gotta go in there.
So on the show, we talk about giallo movies and slasher movies and cult movies. Sometimes we even talk about Cameron Mitchell and his movies. I am Richard. Who are you?
I'm Brad, the guy that's not Richard, or Jeffrey, or Simon.
That's right, we have four people, and we always talk at once, except to each other.
Jeffrey lives up north, Simon lives across the world, Richard lives in Penis, Alabama.
Hello, This is the Doom Show is a proud member of the Legion Podcast Network. Check out the other shows on legionpodcast.com. You can check out more Hello, This is the Doom Show at hellodoomshow.podomatic.com or at doommoviethon.com.
Check for our Amazon exclusive Hello, This is the Doom Show cookbook.
Do you like hot dogs?
We got them.
Do you like mac and cheese?
We got it.
Do you like cheddar?
We have it.
Actually, we don't.
No cheddar.
Just Colby. Colby Jack.
Hello, this is the Doom Show. We never gave up on you because you never gave up on us.
Wow.
Today in this house, a contract has been stipulated between Niccolò Paganini and the devil, wherein the musician is granted eternal fame in exchange for his soul. Signed, Paganini and C.
Open it.
Hey, Daniel. How come you came back up?
I am not Daniel. And now you will pay. And you will pay in the only coin I ever accept.
And this is the ring he wore. Do you recognize it?
I get it. Daniel's playing a joke on us. Right, Kate?
Yes. He would do something like that, wouldn't he?
Right! A man doesn't turn into a...
Stop a monster that isn't even part of this world.
Welcome back. So you've just heard the trailer for Paganini Horror. This is the Italian horror collection, disc number 52 from 88 Films. And according to the 88 Films website, it says thus, an all-girl rock group head to a remote villa for a music video shoot. They are in desperate need of a hit single and purchase sheet music from the mysterious Mr. Pickett, played by the legendary Donald Pleasance. They are told the music is a lost piece from the legendary violinist Niccolò Paganini. and see this as their ticket to top the charts. Little do they know that this music is cursed, and they have just unleashed hell upon themselves. Soon, the spirit of Paganini is roaming the villa armed with a murderous violin and picking off the fame-hungry band members one by one. From the minds of Luigi Cozzi of Contamination fame and Daria Nicolodi of Suspiria fame comes Paganini Horror, a slashtastic piece of cheesy Euro-horror that could only have been made in the 80s. 88 Films are proud to present this bonkers slice of Italian cult cinema, a camp classic in the making, ripe for rediscovery and destined to be your new favourite worst movie, now even more outrageous thanks to the rocking 2K restoration. The special features here are a brand new 2K remaster from the original 16mm negative in 1/66:1 aspect ratio, an extensive cleanup and colour correction carried out in the UK, remastered uncompressed English audio, optional English SDH subtitles, remastered uncompressed Italian audio with newly translated subtitles, audio commentary by genre expert Troy Holworth, bloody violin director Luigi Cozzi on Paganini Horror. It's a kind of conversation that lasts about 31 minutes. Brand new interview with Pietro Grinaldi at 26 minutes in length. You've got a remastered trailer. This is region locked, region B in the UK. I believe, I want to say Severin put it out in the States, but I might be wrong about that one. Audio is LPCM stereo. Picture is 1080p, HD 1/66:1. The runtime is 1 hour and 23 minutes. The language is English and Italian with English subtitles. So this was a first time watch for me. I know it kind of weirdly by reputation, if I'm honest. And I don't actually know where that reputation comes from, out with the fact that it's generally regarded as, you know, a pretty forgettable slice of Italian, well, late 80s Italian horror. And I think context is king here when it comes to actually establishing what it is that Paganini Horror is trying to do. The interesting thing about this movie is the year it's released in terms of 1989. A lot of the mainstays that we know within Italian horror cinema specifically have kind of lost their footing. They are disconnected from their audience. Yes, they're still making movies, but on a fraction of a budget that they used to have. And I think that plays a lot into it. The transition away from Giallo, that's right, take a drink if you have Dunkin' Bingo and you were waiting for Giallo coming up. The move away from Giallo into just pure kind of supernatural horror in the 80s was quite remarkable. This was a big push now. This is certainly the direction we're going. And whilst some of the quote-unquote masters or maestros were starting to lose their footing in cinema, you were getting a new wave of kind of voices coming up, whether that is like a Lamberto Bava, who some people believe is purely trading off the back of his dad's name, but I would say in the 80s he's got a couple of really interesting movies that are worth checking out, and Paganini Horror definitely owes a bit to movies like Murder Rock by Fulci, and at the same time something like Demons by Bava. But on top of that as well, I think you have people like Michele Soavi, who is, you know, essentially doing versions of these movies, but much more interestingly and much more competently, and is about to become the quote-unquote golden boy of that ilk of new directors coming out. And sadly, his career would never really live up to the expectations put on it from... I mean, you could argue the case if Cemetery Man had become this fucking huge, colossal release that there would be a bit more money for other directors to play with. Sadly, it wasn't. But if you look at people like Argento by this time, 89, what he's about to do... 89, he's already done things like Creepers, like, aka Phenomena, and he is starting to, you know, he's starting to lose, I mean, he's going to come back and do Two Evil Eyes at the beginning of the next decade, but he's having a bit of a rocky late 80s, if we're being honest. Fulci is all over the fucking place. We are 1 year away from him releasing the absolute bonkers Cat in the Brain, and, you know, his career's winding down with so many missteps, it's unbelievable. Sergio Martino's kind of taken a step back from making horror altogether. He's not even doing that stuff anymore. And Yeah, so like I say, context is king here on this one. This is a movie 100% I would agree with from the kind of info and the blurb here. That is 100%, you know, an 80s movie. This had to be done in the 80s. It would never have happened in the 90s. And to be honest, it would never have happened in the 70s. And that's a double-edged sword, to be fair. Yes, it could only have happened in the 80s, but should it happen, full stop. On its kind of fundamental core, there are a few interesting things here. It's just not a really well-executed horror movie, if I'm being honest. Some of the practical effects are still kind of cool. It's nowhere near as bloody as it should be. The whole premise is pretty shit, if I'm honest. Sorry for those that really like Paganini horror. It is kind of shit, and I'll double down on it. The idea, in principle, of a kind of haunted sheet of music I like, I think that's kind of cool. The idea of a kind of Faustian pact with the devil that Paganini had made as a way to become as popular and as famous as he was, I kind of like. This idea of the blues man that created rock and roll signing a deal with the devil to become shit hot, I like that. These stories are transcendental right into the horror genre for sure and completely fit. Where this movie kind of loses it is its like unabashed desire to shoot about 4 music videos in the middle of this, which are just tedious, with this horrible fucking earworm of a kind of 80s pop song that just sticks with you. The idea that like a rock pop group is going to take a bit of classical music written by Paganini and this is going to be their next ticket to, you know, the big time, doesn't really make any sense. The people stay in this building well past the point of when they should, and then the ultimate reveal in this movie, specifically that, you know, this is a house that is locked in a weird kind of time loop of purgatory at the hands of Dario Nicolodi, who is essentially condemned to bring new souls to the house for all time, to Mr. Pickett, played by Donald Pleasance, who we're going to get to in a second here, who is essentially the devil. On principle, I kind of think that's a kind of cool idea. The way it's done is shit. It's really, really, really bad. The weapon, I don't like either. The violin with the knife in it, it's too on the nose. You know what I mean? Right, he's a violinist. Does he have to kill people with his violin? I don't think so. You know, that to me feels a bit too twee, a bit too campy. The cinematography, though, is fun. It's got a kind of bonkers cinematography. Some of the dialogue is, like, so cheesy and so bad that, you know, it becomes entertaining to watch. But the whole setup and execution is where the movie kind of falls apart, if I'm honest. Donald Pleasance, God bless him. I mean, this is the epitome of a paycheck if ever I saw one. He doesn't look like he wants to be here. He doesn't look like he's fucking interested. He looks old. This is a man who has lived, you know what I mean? And he's not got many years left. And yeah, it's a shame to see how far Pleasance fell. I mean, you look at his performance in Phenomena. I love that. And that was only like 2-3 years before this. He is going through the motions here. He's just doing what he needs to do. He's not nearly as sinister enough to be the devil. There's a wonderful scene of him throwing his quote-unquote demons off a building, which is just basically money. And a kind of weird, almost an interesting concept never touched on, is this desire that the root of all evil is money. Which I would have much rather they'd leaned into that. That could have been a really interesting story, but it's just a taste. And it is very much like the money in the suitcase, just this throwaway stuff that is never really touched on again. It's bookended with them. They obviously couldn't really afford Pleasance that much. Even Dario Nicolodi, who I genuinely love in her performances, specifically in the 80s, I think she's a great on-screen presence, is kind of phoning it in here. She's trying to play like this really malevolent character, but it's not good enough. And I love the transition that she made from being like you know, the heroine in a lot of movies to the villain that she did specifically in the 80s. She was taking more villainous roles. It just, it doesn't quite work for her here. She's a bit too kind of moustache twiddling for my liking. It's an incredibly frustrating watch, if I'm honest, because there are elements here that I really like. Like I said before, the cover art alone should give this movie like a 5 out of 5. It is fucking amazing. This is the sort of thing that you want as a poster up on your wall somewhere. So I love that aspect. I love the aspect of, like, the idea of the kind of Faustian pact. I think that's really, really great. But it's bogged down by this incessant nature to do music videos and play, like, bad 80s pop music. And the kills are nowhere near as vicious as they should be from a weapon which is shit on paper and shit on execution. And yeah, a story that feels, even at an hour and 20 minutes, felt a bit long. I kind of felt like we were treading water. You take those music videos out, this movie's not even an hour long. So yeah, overall, kind of frustrating watch. Not what I wanted by any stretch of the imagination. But like I say, context is key here. You have to specifically look at the time period this movie came out and what other Italian directors were doing in or around this time to understand this shift. Demons was an unlikely hit, and I think there's a lot of people that then decided that music, like, entwined with the horror movies would be a great idea in Italy, like they did in the States. We're just a whole lot better at doing it in the States, if we're being honest. So yeah, Paganini horror, weird misstep overall. I did still kind of like it, if I'm honest. I would give it a 3 out of 5. I don't know if I'll rush back to watch this one again. Unless it's like an ironic double bill and I'm doubling it up with I don't know, some other movie, with Stage Fright or something. It might be quite interesting. And there's another example of, like, movies that were coming out in or around this time that were just infinitely better. I mean, I'm glad I own it on Blu-ray. I'm glad it's in the collection, but would I recommend it? Probably not. So there we go, ladies and gents. That is Paganini Horror, disc number 52 in the collection. I'm going to take a short break. When I come back, I'm closing out the show and we will be revealing what we'll be covering on the Italian collection in 3 weeks' time as we discuss disc number 3. Coming right up, right after this.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
You've been listening to the podcast Under the Stairs. This has been your Sunday 88 Films Italian Collection series of reviews, where we're looking at disc number 52, Paganini Horror. In 3 weeks' time, join me as we will be discussing, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, Karate Warrior. That is right. Ooh, this is a new one for me. I've never seen this movie before, so I know very little about it, except I will be incredibly surprised if this is not a complete rip-off of The Karate Kid. But we'll find out when we get into our blurb here. So this is disc number 53. According to their website, it says, Anthony Scott heads for Manila for a chance to reconnect with his father. But as soon as he lands in the sweltering heat of the Philippines, Anthony swiftly finds himself on the wrong side of Quino, a local gangster, who also happens to be a badass karate champion. After a royal smackdown, Anthony vows to get his revenge and seek the help of the mysterious Master Kimura, the man responsible for teaching Quino his formidable fighting skills before he turned into a life of crime. Anthony is soon under Kimura's tutelage and en route to mastering the art of the dragon blow. From Fabio De Angelis of Killer Crocodile fame, you instantly have my attention with that, comes Karate Warrior, aka the boy in the golden kimono. Terrible name. A very Italian take on The Karate Kid, featuring an early lead role for future Italian megastar Kim Rossi Stewart. Karate Warrior features a host of cult cinema talent, including the lovely Janet Agron of Hands of Steel, sporting a pulsating soundtrack from BAFTA nominee Simon Boswell of The Crying Game. 88 Films are proud to unveil this gorgeous 2K restoration of the cult classic Beat 'em Up that spawned 5 sequels. What the fuck? Dear God. Special features on this one are limited edition Goss O-Card slipcase on the first print run, which I have, the brand new 2K remaster from the original 35mm negative and 185:1 aspect ratio, an extensive cleanup and colour correction carried out in the UK, remastered uncompressed English audio, optional English SDH subtitles, alternative longer Italian version featuring remastered uncompressed Italian audio with newly translated subtitles, lightening the kimono. Lighting the kimono, an interview with Giuseppe Pinori, Cinema of the Underdog, Mike Leader on the legacy of martial arts cinema, The Cynic, The Rat and The Karate Warrior, a featurette by Eugenio Ercoli, detailing Umberto Lenzi's involvement in the Karate Warrior franchise, now you totally have my attention, and the reversible sleeve with the Italian title. Tech specs for this one, region locked to region B, audio's LPCM stereo, pictures 1080p HD 185:1, the runtime 1 hour and 25 minutes, you have completely sold me on this movie now, languages English and Italian and subtitles are English. So there we go, Karate Warrior coming up in 3 weeks time on the Italian Collection series. There's a multitude of ways to check out and support the podcast Under the Stairs. Wherever you're listening to us right now, hit subscribe. That way you don't miss any of the content that we are currently putting out. Those episodes will download automatically when you open whichever device you're on. Also, while you're subscribing, subscribe to the Teapots Collective. It is our second sister feed, and there's tons of stuff always getting released over there to keep you going. If you are a podcast addict like myself, then make sure that you're subscribed to both, and then you will never be short of an episode or two to listen to. Visit our website, it's teapotscast.com. You can support the show by buying merch by going to teapotscast.bigcartel.com. Visit us on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/teapotscast. And you can check us out on our Facebook page for the Teapots Collective on facebook.com/teapotscast. You can reach out and touch myself and the Baz on twin prongs of social media sexiness. Instagram and Twitter both can be followed at TeapotsCast. And check us out on the Flick Chat app, which is free and available for Android and iOS users. Our join code is TeapotsCast. The podcast Under the Stairs will return tomorrow for you with a brand new week of podcasting. But until then, wherever you are, whatever the time zone is, and whatever you're up to in this big bad world of ours, please take care of yourselves out there. This is Duncan McLeish broadcasting live from Under the Stairs, and I am signing off.